listening to Merkez Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are tuned in to Merkez Sahaba Online. It's time for us to go for our local Jummah, and we're heading over to Masjid Nur Asheville, and we're listening to Mawlana Naeem Mutala.
فناوله صلى الله عليه وسلم يده نبي كريم صلى الله عليه وسلم standing there, and Abu Dahda رضي الله عنه puts his hand forward pledging allegiance, and he says, يا رسول الله أقرضت بستاني أقرضته وأقرضت بستاني لله سبحانه وتعالى. I have given this loan of this orchard to Allah سبحانه وتعالى. I've given away my entire orchard in charity. وله 600 نخلة, and his orchard had 600 date palms. 600 date palms. He goes to his orchard. He's standing outside his orchard. His wife and children are just inside. From outside, he shouts out to his wife, and he says, Ya Umm al-Dahdah, انقلي متاعك وصبيانك فإني أقرضت هذا البستان لله سبحانه وتعالى. He goes outside. He does not even enter his orchard, and he tells his wife that I have given this entire orchard in the path of Allah as sadaqa. I have given this loan to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you come out and remove all your belongings and your children. Imagine any one of us hears a talk like this today. If I had to say, who is there prepared to give Allah a loan and in lieu of Jannat? Perhaps one or two may stand up. But most of us, we would make excuses. We would think otherwise. And even if we have the courage to do so, giving like a whole factory away in the path of Allah, and whole orchard, 600 date palms. And then you go home and you tell this to your wife, can you imagine what the repercussions will be? Do you know what she answers? She says, Rabbi habay'uk, ya Abu Dardah, ya Abu Dahdah, wa Abu Dahdah, Rabbi habay'uk, this transaction that you have done, this deal with Allah, it is profitable. You have done an excellent thing. And immediately she moves with her children and belongings, they move out of the orchard. The point here is, Sahaba did not require a lengthy talk in order to instill this love they had for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sharia, and practicing upon deen and gaining that loftiness in paradise. Why? The mindset was correct. All the time the yearnings, how can we excel, how we can better ourselves for the hereafter. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, in this narration we have mentioned previously, he is deputed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to look after some zakat monies that had come. So he's got these belongings, there's a whole heap, some dates and some goods given as zakat, and Rasulullah tells him to look after it, and then it will be distributed soon. So at night a person comes and begins to steal from that heap. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu grabs his hand. So the person is caught red-handed. He pleads to Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu to let him free, because Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, "La'arfa annaka ila Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." I will take you to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, please, I've got a family, I'm poor, inni faqir, I've got iyal, I've got a family, I will look after them, give me a break please, I won't come back. I promise you I won't come back. The next morning, before Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu could tell Rasulullah anything, he asked him, ma fa'ala asiruka al-bariha? Tell me, last night, the person who came and you took him as a captive and you caught him red-handed, what did he do? So then Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, Ya Rasul, I caught him, but then he pleaded to me, he said, please give me a break, give me a chance, I've got a family. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, he is a liar. And he's going to come back. The exact thing happened for the second night. He pleads again to Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu, who feels pity for him. And then Rasul asks him the next morning, what happened? He gives the same answer. He says, he'll come back, he's a liar. On the third night, now when he comes, he's caught. This time Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu says, no, now I'm definitely going to take you to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On this occasion, he pleads to him and he tells him, okay, listen, I will tell you something, I will teach you something. That if you read this, then you will be protected from shaitan. If you read this after every salah, after every far salah, then you will be protected from shaitan. So Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu has got a choice to take him to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as he is caught, or to let him, give him that advice and that particular dua that is going to teach him, that will protect him from shaitan. The commentators of Bukhari write regarding the Sahaba, كَانُوا أَحْرَصَ شَيْءٍ عَلَى الْخَيْرِ. The Sahaba were most desirous in knowing about the Akhirah, in gaining the Akhirah, in seeking protection from nafs, from shaitan, from Jahannam. So Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu gives him a break, but first asks him, what is that particular wazifa and dua? And he says, recite Ayat al-Kursi after every falsara, you be protected from shaitan. He goes to Rasulullah in the morning, مَا فَعَلَ بِأَسِيرِكَ الْبَارِحَةِ. What happened last night? He says, this is what happened and this is what he taught me. He says, that person who came to you is a liar, but this particular instance, he has spoken the truth to you. Do you know who he was? He was none other than shaitan himself. Whoever recites after every farsara ayat al-kursi, he is protected from shaitan. Many other virtues also there. The point here again, with the topic what I am discussing today is, that the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, the little chance and opportunity they got, they seized it. Regarding gaining protection from shaitan, from Jahannam, gaining Jannah, gaining paradise. And if they lost an opportunity, it will cause them so much of remorse, so much of pain, so much of grief. If you and I miss a couple of salah, Allah forgive us, nothing happens. We'll make up some other time. How often a person is traveling, we're going for Hajj and Umrah, and on the flight we see baligh males. Okay, perhaps females, sometimes they excuse because of haze and nifas, whatever. So I'm talking about the males. Hardly, many of them do not even read the salah, going for Umrah and Hajj. The salat is discarded. If somebody is encouraged, he says, no, I'm not feeling very park. I'll make up some other time later, I'll make my qada. As Thani Rahmatullah has written, a person who on safar, on journey, who discards his salah, indicates to the fact that when he is on hadar at home, then he is very lax about his salah. Whoever is very concerned about his salah, normal times when he is at home, not on journey, then even on journey also, he will make sure he reads his salah on time. So a little opportunity missed out, and the Sahabi will become very, very grieved. Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, it is Hajj. She's making Hajj with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The other wives of Rasulullah also make Hajj. It so happens that she had her menses and she could not make her Umrah, and now she comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hajj had taken place and she had just her tawaf to make. And she comes to Rasulullah, she is crying. The riwayah comes in the books of hadith, Mu'atta Imam Malik rahmatullahi, it is mentioned there as well. And where it is mentioned, فَبَكَتْ بُكَآن, she began to cry. And she expresses her feelings that, Ya Rasulullah, all the other wives, your other wives, Azwadi Mutahharat, all were able to perform the Umrah and Hajj. And of course, it's not of her own doings. This was because of the law of Sharia. She was not parked, so she could not perform it. But it caused her such pain that I missed out. They scored more blessings than sawab. I missed out. She began to cry. Then Rasulullah consoles her, tells her, the moment you become parked, tell your brother Abdul Rahman to take you to Tan'im. And that is the Masjid Tan'im that we make Umrah from. And you can wear your ihram or make your niyyah for ihram, and then you perform your umrah, your tawaf. So see what concern they had. Any opportunity. If they're given an opportunity between choosing akhirat and dunya, immediately they would choose akhirat. The Ansar, there was drought in Medina. Their livestock were being destroyed. Children were becoming weak. There was no rain. They come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with this intention that we would ask Rasulullah to make dua to Allah. We would request him to make dua to Allah for rain. On that particular occasion, as they entered, Rasulullah loved the Ansar very dearly. So he looked at them. Marhaban lil Ansar. Marhaban lil Ansar. Welcome my Ansari brothers. Welcome to you. Whatever desire you have today, put it forward. I will make dua to Allah to fulfill your dua. The Ansar look at one another. They had come for rain. Something valid and important they would ask because there was drought. But when they saw this, that Rasulullah is asking them, that ask me whatever dua you have and I will ask Allah to fulfill it. I will make dua to Allah. Because only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who provides. When they saw this, immediately they asked Rasulullah, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or make dua to Allah that Allah pardons our sins. Allah must forgive us. So Rasulullah raised his hand, Allahumma ghafir lil ansar, wa li abna'il ansar, wa li abna'i abna'il ansar, wa li azwajihim, wa li jiranihim. Rasulullah made dua for the Ansar, for the children, their grandchildren, their neighbors even. For their wives, for their women folk, for their families. Oh Allah, forgive the Ansar. It's a very lengthy incident, a very famous incident, known as Tasbih Fatimi radiallahu ta'ala anha. Where Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha was doing all the work at home on her own. Her hand became very, very coarse, her skin. And she had become weak. And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu tells her to go and ask your father to give you an attendant, who, a khadim or a khadima, who will help you. I've heard that many slaves have come, and perhaps he just give you one. So it will help you. This khadima will help you to do your work at home. So she goes. And various narrations are mentioned in books of hadith in Bukhari and other authentic sources. Hafiz ibn Hajar rahmatullah alayhi has collated all these riwayat. And I will just mention the gist of this. That when she goes, Rasulullah was busy with some person. So she sees Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha, another narration, another wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she could not put her request to Rasulullah directly. Nonetheless, she comes back home. At night, Rasulullah comes to the house. And Sayyidina Ali and Sayyidina Fatima have retired to bed. And when they have retired to bed, Rasulullah enters. And he tells him to sit in the position, to lie down in that position, and he comes between the two, his daughter and his beloved son-in-law. And the narration says, we could feel the coolness of his feet against our body. And then she is bashful, she is feeling shy to put forward her request to her father. Then Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu puts forward the request, that Ya Rasul, this is the condition of Fatima, your beloved daughter. She requires just one servant to help her. And Rasulullah says that the Sahaba, they require assistance. Rather than that, read 33 times Subhanallah, 33 times Alhamdulillah, 34 times Allahu Akbar. Different narrations have been mentioned, but most of them say 33 times Subhanallah, 33 times Alhamdulillah, 34 times Allahu Akbar after every Salah, and even at night when you go to sleep. So 6 times for the day. After every Salah it is so easy. And at night before you go to sleep. Immediately they began to make amal on this. And this is my point. They did not delay. And it became an amal of their life. Battle of Siffin took place. Another very lengthy incident. There were two parties. And Sahaba, there was misjudgment. And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu is on one side, and he was on the truth and haqq, and he was victorious. And there were losses of life, etc. But somebody then questioned Sayyidina Ali radiallahu, thinking that perhaps on that occasion, when Sayyidina Ali was under such pressure, such stress, that perhaps that night he had forgotten to read his tasbih. And when they questioned him, Sayyidina Ali says, even on that night, I did not forget to read my tasbih. These are the Sahaba. They were haris. Haris, the word hirsun in Arabic means to be greedy. So greedy in what sense? One is greedy for something of the world. A person desires more of that worldly pleasure. And the other one is haris for the akhirah. He is desirous of the akhirah. He's got a pain within him to gain more and more rewards for the akhirah. And these were the Sahaba. What is our mindset? It seems that the systems that have been placed in the world, and unfortunately you and I have not realized it, or perhaps we have realized it, but we are doing nothing about it. Our minds have been indoctrinated and put onto such a system in which all our time is consumed, all our time, or maximum of our time is consumed and absorbed in gaining the needs of this world. So we have very little time then to really prepare for the hereafter. And when we do have the time, then again we make excuses and we say, I'm very busy, I don't have time. I don't think we are very busy. I'm talking about myself. Instead of busy, we rather say, I'm very lazy. The systems that have been placed in the world is something that is against tawakkul ala Allah. A person forgets that he has to make an effort in the world and he has to earn a halal livelihood, but then there is that great element of tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, placing his trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ash-shaytanu ya'idukumul faqra. Shaitan promises you, he frightens you of poverty. If you don't do this, you're going to become poor. You don't invest in this haram thing, you're going to become poor. You rather do this, and otherwise you're going to lose all your money. So a person looks, he's placed already into the system of this world. And Quran and Hadith, the lives of Rasulullah, the life of Rasulullah and his companions, all that seemed to him outdated, perhaps a fairy tale, ma'adallah, it won't fit in today's times. Whereas we have more things in this day and age to help us to gain our dunya easily and in a quicker way as compared to the past. So Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, their mindset. They did work and earn halal rosy and livelihood in this world. But that did not consume all the time. I mentioned these few incidents. Moment something is shown to them, some good deed, the rewards of it is shown to them, and immediately they are focusing and going to the akhirah. Abu Dahda radiallahu gave his entire orchard. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu is crying because she was unable to make that umrah. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu is reading his tasbih daily, his entire life. Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala learns, he shows the desire to learn. Like this, various Sahaba, they were haris, they were desirous of getting the akhirah. They were not haris and did not have that lalach in Urdu. A person is so greedy for just amassing the things of this world. Now there's a person by the name of Ash'ab. Those who read Arabic kitabs will understand. This person was a very humorous person, but a very greedy person. And we talk about greed and hirs, we talk about Ash'ab. So all the time he'd look for occasions and opportunities to exhibit his greed. One day, he goes by a person who was making some clay pots or trays. So he had made some small trays, clay trays, and he was selling this. Ash'ab comes there with no intention to purchase any tray. But he tells the seller that why don't you make one large tree? So before making it, the person takes an order. He's not just going to make something and then there's no person to buy it. He says, are you seriously intending to buy this? He says, no. So he says, why you tell him to make a large tree? He says, no, in case, just in case, there is that slight possibility that some person may come by and he wishes to buy me some sweetmeats. And if he buys a small tray, it'll be too less for me. Rather, you keep a big tray ready, so he'll buy the big tray and give me some sweetness. Greed. Children were troubling him one day. So to get him off his back, Ash'ab tells them, hey, you heard, there's a certain person there, nearby. He's giving sweets. And he's distributing sweets to every person. So they said, yes, obviously a child becomes excited. Where? So he points up to a certain place, and they all run. Not even 2 minutes later, Ash'ab is also running behind. And somebody asked him, Ash'ab, what's wrong? Why are you going behind? He says, what if? What if genuinely somebody is giving sweets? Why should I be left behind? We may laugh at the story of Ash'ab. Look at our own lives, if there are any Ash'ab in our lives. How often we find things in this world, similar things. Greed, what does greed do? It consumes our life. It creates hatred for one another. It creates hasad for Muslim brothers. In the end of the day, when a person leaves this world, when he stands before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then if he looks back into this world, all the greed he had in this world, and all the time he spent in fulfilling this desire and greed that he had, and the passions and egos, in pursuing only this dunya, more than the requirements that he had, beyond that. And when he will be asked, how long did you tarry in this world? How long did you live in this world? He will say, perhaps only one day, or half a day. The entire world, all his preoccupation in this world, the number of years he lived in this world, when he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter, it will seem to him as though he only lived in this world for a day or half a day. Why not build our homes in Jannah as well? We are building a home in this world, of course, there is a requirement. But what about our home in the Akhirah? And a very simple way. Rasulullah SAW mentioned in one hadith, I'm just going to give you the gist of the hadith, that whoever reads 12 rakats of salah in the day, over and above the faraid, he reads 12 rakats, then Allah will build for him a house in paradise. The two sunnats of Fajr, and these two sunnats have been most highly emphasized before your Fajr Fard, the two sunnats of Fajr. My respected brothers and elders, again, time has expired. Let's not look at the next person and who reads the sunnah, who is not reading. Let us make sure that we all are reading our Fajr Salah with Jamaat. And the two sunnahs of Fajr are very light sunnah. It's not a long sunnah. If you look at the hadith and the sunnah of Rasulullah, it was very light sunnah. Khafifatain. So let us make a start. We have already commenced the month of Rajab. And Rasul made dua, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. Wallah, give us barakah in this month of Rajab. Wallah, give us barakah in the month of Sha'ban. Wallah, make us reach Ramadan. We make the same dua. Allama Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahmatullah alayhi, he says that Rajab is the time for planting the seed. What seed were they talking about? Not the seeds of dunya and worldly pursuits. No. They were talking about the seed of akhirah, of a'mal. By now we should be getting our salah in act, in order. We should be bringing in ourselves good character, good deeds, increase our start reading our tilawat of the Quran. If as yet we have not even started opening the Quran, then today, make it happen today. Just read one page only. At least minimum one page. If you can't read one page, half a page. You can't even read half a page, even just one verse. Only one verse. For those who have never opened the Quran as yet. Of course, those who are already reading Quran, increase. Don't decrease. But for those brothers or sisters, for some reason you have never touched and opened the Quran the entire year, don't wait for Ramadan. Start today. Make it a point today. After Jumu'ah or before Asr, after Asr Salah, after Maghrib, before you leave the masjid, it will take you just maximum 5 minutes. 5 minutes. 5 minutes only. Just open the Quran. Start from the beginning. And read even one or two verses. And every day keep on to this. Be consistent. And then gradually increase. By the time Ramadan comes, you will see inshallah you have covered up so many paras. So like this, two sunnat of Fajr. Then of course, the four sunnat of Zuhr before the Fard and two after. Then the two sunnat of Maghrib and the two sunnat of Isha, in total 12. This does not mean you don't need the other sunnah. Like the four sunnah of Asr. If you want to know the virtue of the four sunnah of Asr, although it's not included in this particular hadith, you're getting the dua of Rasulullah Rahimallahu imran salla qabla al-asri arba'an. May Allah have mercy. May Allah have mercy upon that person who reads four rakat before the fard of Asr. That is the four sunnah of Asr. You got Allah's mercy. But at least do this sunnah that I have mentioned. So inshallah, if we do this, we have built your home in Jannah. Like this every single day, try and bring the positive things, and also now start controlling our anger, our jealousy. Try and remedy all these things. So Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali Rahman says, this is a seed, Rajab. Sha'ban is when you're going to water this seed that is growing, this plant that is growing. And in Ramadan, that is the harvest. And he says that Rajab miftahu ashhuril khair. Rajab is the key to all the good months. That is Sha'ban and Ramadan coming. May Allah give all of us life and tawfiq and hidayat and good health to see the month of Ramadan. May Allah protect the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah shower His mercy upon the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just before Jumu'ah, somebody mentioned to me and sent me some news, a very, very sad news. And our heart goes out to all those brothers who became shaheed today in New Zealand in the masajid, two different masjids, where some barbaric person comes and they open fire and kill innocent. Imagine on a Jumu'ah, how fortunate are those brothers. On a Jumu'ah, they were in wudu. Some may have been engaged in salah, tilawat of the Quran. They came early because the Jumu'ah salat had not yet commenced, from what I understand. And then they get shahadat. On the day of Qiyamah, they will be raised in this condition. But imagine their wives may have been waiting for them for after Jumu'ah. So let us not lose ourselves and emotions, but we make special dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make them maghfirat, give them the highest of stages in Jannat. May Allah ta'ala protect their families. May Allah give their families sabr jameel. A believer to another believer is like one body. If the eye feels pain, the entire body feels pain. If the head feels pain, the entire body feels pain. And therefore, this is a pain, a natural pain that we feel. We have got iman, and we make special dua for their maghfirat, and may Allah give them the highest of stages, and Allah make it easy for them and throughout the entire globe. May Allah protect the Muslims. May Allah give us strength. May Allah make us behave like true Muslims in our conduct, in our dealings, in our amal, so that we may become a magnet to all the people who have not yet embraced Islam, and so the Islam can flourish inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. There are many brothers waiting outside. Please come in, make space for all the brothers. Put in the masjid first, and then the sand area, and especially time for salah. Every Friday we keep on announcing that there's so much of space on the right hand side. So fill in the stuffs from the beginning and the right hand side of the masjid first, so we don't delay when salah begins.